Chapter 31. If Skippy said anything after one, I don't remember it. Something bad happened to my neck during the jump. That pain is not what brought me back to consciousness. Alarms were blaring from every console. Did that ear-splitting racket wake me up? Not a chance. The artificial gravity was off, so droplets from my nosebleed were hanging in front of my face, and I choked on it when I breathed in. Even that didn't wake me up. Something zapped me by sending an electric pulse from the Z-phone in my pocket. That startled me awake. I wish it didn't. Holy shit, everything hurt. Dim emergency lighting illuminated the bridge, strips of some biochemical substance that glowed when the power was off. None of the consoles were active. The main holographic display was off, artificial gravity was inactive, and the ship was not moving at all. Like, not at all. There should have been some movement. The main engines rumbling like they usually did, a faint shuddering as thrusters fired to stabilize the ship. Nothing. Skip, trying to talk, threw me into a coughing fit. Skippy? No response. A groan from beside me made me turn my head, which was a bad idea. My neck said no to moving my head, so I turned my upper body. Sims was doubled over, head in her hands. I already tried calling Skippy, she said. Or she said something like that. Her voice was muffled, and there was something wrong with my ears. Reaching up carefully with one hand, I touched my right ear. It was wet. I was bleeding from my ears. That was not good. With a soft beep, all of the consoles flickered at the same time, and nonsense characters began scrolling. No, the characters were not nonsense. They were in Max Salk's script, still the base language of the user interface. The system was rebooting. Or maybe that old term was woefully inadequate. What I cared about was the ship wasn't dead yet. Other people began to stir with a chorus of groans. Don't move unless you need to, I choked out. You might be injured. Might? Jennifer Sims moved very slowly and looked at me with one eye open. Her eye was red with burst blood vessels. Your ear is bleeding. Yeah. Feels like my neck is broken, I whispered back. Even slight movements produced a grinding feeling, like bones grating against bones. I am not a doctor, but I know necks are not supposed to do that. Is anyone? Colonel Dude, Bilby spoke in his usual surfer drawl. He sounded normal. That had to count for something. You should not move, any of you, until I can get a medical bot to the bridge to scan you for internal injuries. Ship status? Somehow I was able to focus. The ship is fine, man. Not fine, but good enough. Way better than I thought it would be. One reactor is online, shields are restarting, the engines... Where are we? Maybe it's best if I show you, man. The main display flickered, went dark, snapped off, then came back as if nothing had happened. There was the symbol for the Valkyrie in the center, with something big looming in the upper part of the display. That had to be the ice giant planet, and assuming that was true, we were close, though not in orbit. What immediately drew my attention was the other symbol on the display. It was outlined in red. An enemy ship. My mouth wasn't working properly, nor was the control pad on my chair's armrest, though part of that trouble might be the blood from my fingers smeared across the control surface. Distance to enemy ship? I asked, wiping my fingers on my uniform. 3.4 light minutes. Bilby, for all his moronic-sounding dude speak, was smart. He anticipated my next question. We jumped in 2 minutes and 8 seconds ago. Wiping the control pad clean with a sleeve, I manipulated the display. We were near the ice giant, falling past it at an angle that would have us skim over the top of the atmosphere on our way out into deep space if we didn't alter course. Our relative velocity was not substantial. That was too much of a coincidence, so I guess Skippy had done that deliberately. To jump near a planet and then immediately fly past at high speed would have been a waste of effort. Think, Bishop, think, I told myself. We had about 1 minute before the enemy ship saw the gamma ray burst of our inbound jump. That ship would be on top of us in a flash, unless its captain had orders to jump to notify their fleet first. Either way, we had to get moving. "Chen," I croaked, my voice slightly less hoarse. "Bring us down. I want to be in the cloud layer." "Bilby," Chen called, her hands in the air. "Are the flight controls operative?"
"Yeah, man. The ship will be real sluggish, I gotta warn you."
Chen tentatively activated thrusters to swing us around.
"Colonel."
She didn't turn to look at me. From her jerky movements, I guessed her neck or back or shoulders were hurting. Maybe all three.
"The ship is responding. Engaging main engines now."
"Be gentle, but not too gentle," I instructed, mindful of how little time we had before the enemy fleet could be surrounding us again.
"Affirmative."
"Bilby, where is Skippy?"
"Skippy isn't answering me either, man. He's there, his canister, I mean. But I think something's wrong with it."
A chill ran up my spine.
"Just his canister?"
"No, man. He's there, like, I can sense him. He's just not doing anything. Not talking to me, you know?"
"Okay."
The shudder of relief made pain stab my neck like a red-hot knife.
"Can we jump?"
That's a big negatory on the jump, dude. I'm locked out of the jump drive navigation system. I don't know why."
"Skippy must have secured it so we wouldn't try to use it," I guessed.
"Makes sense, dude. The diagnostics I'm seeing on the jump coils are not good. Some of the stuff I'm seeing doesn't make any sense."
"Leave the coils alone for now."
The deck trembled.
"Sorry," Chen called. "Engines feel like they're out of tune. We will contact the atmosphere in 4 minutes.
Colonel,"
she tried to turn toward me. I could see her grimace with pain.
"I don't know if the engines can keep us in the cloud layer without falling down into the slush."
"Slush?"
"She means the planet's mantle," Bilby explained. "It is ice composed of water, methane, and ammonia. Don't worry. I'm bringing the other reactors online. We should be at 80% power by the time we get below the cloud tops. You plan to bring the ship down into the troposphere?"
"Deep enough that ships in orbit will not easily detect our position," I confirmed.
"Cool. Then we need to go down to where the atmospheric pressure is above 20 bars.
He meant 20 times the pressure Earth's atmosphere at sea level.
"But we should be very careful not to go deeper than 70 bars. I'm concerned about the condition of the pressure hull."
70. "Got it," I mumbled, distracted by worry about Skippy. Shit. If he was seriously damaged, I might have temporarily saved the ship, but killed the entire galaxy. Only Skippy had the codes to reset timers on the Elder weapons we had planted. The ship rocked. That was not an engine instability. Something hit us. The symbol for the ship 3 light minutes away was still there. But then, if it had jumped, we wouldn't know it for 3 minutes. What we did know was an enemy ship was less than 30,000 kilometers away, firing maser beams at us and launching missiles. It could be the same ship or another. The question hardly mattered.
"Shields holding," Bilby reported.
"Sir?"
Chen asked for instructions. I looked at the main display and took in the situation in an instant. That was where my pilot training helped. The enemy ship was a frigate, no match for a battlecruiser. It was also going to blow right past us, moving at slightly less than 7,000 kilometers per second. At that speed, the battle was going to last no more than 30 seconds before that little frigate flew out of range.
"Maintain course. Bilby, tell me about the point defense systems."
"Operating at about 50%, dude. We can handle those missiles." He scoffed at the 5 missiles launched by the frigate.
"Is that the same ship we saw at 3 light minutes?
"Let me verify, dude. Confidence is about 71%. Can't do any better. Sorry."
"Hit that ship."
I lifted an arm to gesture to the weapon station.
My neck still wouldn't allow me to turn my head. Target their jump drive. Bilby, throw a damping field around it.
I'll try, man. The field projectors are...
Do your best. The deck rocked. I could feel it through my chair. It was hard to tell the vibrations of our guns firing from the impacts of enemy fire. The display told the story. Our weapons crew was letting the enemy have everything we could throw at them.
The gun battle was short, no more than 27 seconds from when we started firing to the point where the enemy ship had passed out of range for our directed energy weapons to be effective. We kept firing railgun darts for a few seconds after that. Then the distance and erratic flight of the frigate made it unlikely we could hit anything. Missiles were still in flight, and that was an interesting equation. They were basically equivalent technology. We had an advantage that our missiles were smarter from the tweaks Skippy had done to the guidance AIs, and our point defense computers could think faster. Roughly translated, that meant we could hit harder and protect ourselves better, especially against a lightly armored ship like a frigate. By the time our last missile exploded several kilometers behind the enemy, that ship was trailing plasma and bright arcs of electricity sparked from ruptured conduits.
They're beyond our damping field range, dude, Bilby reported. Good news is, that ship is not jumping anywhere. We smashed their drive!
Ceasefire, I ordered, lifting an arm too abruptly and feeling a sharp pain at the base of my neck.
That ship can still launch missiles at us, Sims said quietly, not wanting to question my orders in front of the crew.
That won't matter in a minute. I pointed at the display. The enemy ship was moving fast in the opposite direction while we were curving around to put the massive bulk of the planet between us and the frigate.
That ship should have jumped to report our position to their fleet. Instead, they wanted the glory of killing us. Now it will be...
I checked how far we had jumped when we escaped.
Another 11 minutes before their fleet detects our inbound gamma ray burst here and discovers where we went.
In the ambush, I had not bothered to shoot back because it would have been a waste of time and resources. Resources like the energy we used to fire cannons and railguns were needed for the shields. In the fight against the frigate, our firepower was the difference between life and death.
She nodded, understanding.
We bought time.
To do what?
To get down deep in the atmosphere.
We can't hide.
She tried to tilt her head at me, and the gesture made her wince.
This time, they know where we are.
One step at a time. The display was showing that Valkyrie's nose was heating up as the forward shields bored through the thin upper atmosphere.
Bilby, talk to me.
We're still okay, I think.
He did not sound entirely confident.
The ship was not designed to operate in an atmosphere, you know?
Dude, are you sure about this?
I'm sure that if we don't put a thick layer of clouds between us and that fleet soon, we'll never get out of here.
Sims took in a breath. There was a catch in her throat.
You have a plan?
I have a hope, I replied.
She winced again, holding her right side.
We could use some hope.
There is not sufficient data to reach a conclusion, the AI of the Eighth Fleet's flagship announced. Admiral Riker's claws extended, an automatic reaction to his anger. One unfortunate characteristic of the AIs his people constructed was their reluctance to commit to the results of any analysis. Results were always accompanied by reasons why the analysis could be wrong, even wildly wrong. Reichert knew the fault was not with the AIs, or even the people who programmed them. The fault lay with his society. AIs who failed to produce consistent, successful results were often wiped, even if that required tearing a ship apart to remove the embedded substrate. The trick to working with an AI, a trick he had learned over a long career, was something most of his captains could not bring themselves to do. Be nice to the machine. Treat it with... He almost gagged at the thought. With respect. As if it were a real being, and not a collection of manufactured components.
I understand the incident is unprecedented.
He watched his fingers and willed the claws to retract. Anger felt good. It also would do nothing to accomplish his goal.
My staff is unable to comprehend the event. They lack your immense processing power.
The AI was understandably hesitant, fearing a trap. The problem is that we, the hegemony, it emphasized, to be clear the failure was not its fault, lack context to understand the event. As you said, Admiral, it is unprecedented.
Instead of being outraged by the machine's veiled insult, Reichert felt a calm wash over him, a practiced skill that had served him well. There was a time for rage and a time for cool rationality. Too many of his crews did not understand that important distinction.
Begin with what you do know. The facts. What does the sensor data tell you?
That the target ship came to a dead stop in space. By dead stop, I mean relative to the local star, of course. The target ship was still moving at substantial speed around the center of the galaxy. Our ships were unable to match the maneuver. Therefore, the formation quickly flew past the target, and it was able to jump away once the damping field strength faded.
Yes. Thank you.
Reichert exercised supreme self-control to express thanks to a machine.
Remember the goal, he told himself. That confirms my own view of the events. Tell me, the target did not stop instantly, did it?
No. The target's velocity was, however, cancelled over a remarkably short period. It was still slowing its forward progress when it jumped away.
The ghost ship's engines were active during the event?
He could not stop thinking of the target vessel as a ghost ship. That was easier than accepting the truth, that it was stolen from his people and operated by humans.
Correct, the AI confirmed.
Cautiously, it added, engine thrust alone was not close to canceling the target's velocity. However,
yes,
there are two variables in the equation. The thrust provided by the engines, as measured against the mass of the object.
That is insightful,
Reichert silently willed the machine to say what it was thinking. Encouraged, the AI continued.
The engine thrust could explain the event if the target ship's mass was substantially reduced by means unknown.
Now the discussion was getting somewhere useful. His people had experimented with manufactured or fake matter, which exhibited the characteristics of ordinary atoms, but with less mass. The goal was to construct extremely lightweight, high-performance materials from such fake matter, but such material technology had never advanced beyond the laboratory.
Is it possible, the Admiral asked the AI, that the target ship is composed of mass-reduced materials?
That is unlikely.
The AI took a risk by implying the Admiral had asked a stupid question.
That ship has never previously exhibited reduced mass characteristics. Its movements prior to the incident were exactly as expected for a battlecruiser of its size, though with noticeably increased power output and engine thrust.
Reichert
pretended to consider the AI's statement.
If the ship's structure cannot explain the...
It is most likely.
In its enthusiasm, the AI did not realize it had interrupted its master.
That a temporary effect either reduced the ship's mass or somehow converted most of the kinetic energy of its momentum into another form. There was a heat flare detected at the same time, although not enough heat was released to entirely explain the loss of kinetic energy. The heat may have been a residual effect.
Hearing that speculation made Reichert feel he was finally getting somewhere in understanding what the hell had allowed the target ship to escape his careful trap.
Is that a capability of the Elder AI?
Unknown, the Maxalk's AI said carefully.
Aware that the Admiral would not be pleased by the machine not giving an answer, it added,
There appears to be no other possibility to account for the event.
An answer that was a non-answer. Reichert was angered, but accepted that the AI simply did not have enough information to be more useful.
It is not possible to determine where the target jumped to?
No. The event horizon on the originating end of the jump wormhole was extremely chaotic. I would be surprised if the target ship did not sustain substantial damage. Admiral, my initial analysis has not changed. Wherever that ship went, it could not have jumped far. Certainly it is within this star system.
Then we wait.
For the operation, Reichert had been given control of 1,600 warships and support vessels, a concentration of combat power that the fleet had not experienced in many generations. In addition to the task forces surrounding the three designated emergent zones, he had stationed picket ships in a grid throughout and around the star system. If the target ship was anywhere in the star system, he would know about it soon. Valkyrie dropped at a steady rate down into the ice giant's murky depths to where the pressure hull of the ship, which was designed to hold air pressure in, creaked and groaned from the strain of being compressed.
27 bars,
Bilby repeated the information on the display. The layer of hydrogen, helium, and methane around us was now 27 times the pressure on Earth's surface and increasing as we glided downward. There was no point to measuring altitude in kilometers. All we cared about was staying above the point where the ship's pressure hull would crack, and unfortunately, that depth was something Bilby had to guess about.
Maintain descent, I grunted.
The pain in my neck was growing worse. At least my nose and ears had stopped bleeding. To replace those concerns, I was developing a whopping headache that was affecting my vision. The planet's gravity was tugging me down into the chair with enough force to be uncomfortable. Bilby restored artificial gravity to counteract the real gravity so we squishy humans didn't get squished.
Are the engines...
Multiple jump signatures, Bilby reported. Gamma ray bursts above us. That's 8, 20, 29, now 34 ships. More coming.
We get the idea. Their whole fleet will be sitting above us soon.
Dude, we can't hide down here, Bilby warned. We don't have enough reserve power to run a stealth field, and we're creating ripples in the air anyway. The bad guys will see that for sure.
We don't need to hide. The...
My head jerked forward as something struck the ship hard enough to jolt my spine.
Railgun impact?
Bilby sounded personally offended that someone was shooting at us.
Another?
He shouted as the ship rolled ponderously to the left, flipping onto its side. Another impact hit forward and pushed Valkyrie's nose down.
Cease fire!
Admiral Reichert screamed through his implant and verbally.
Cease fire, you idiots! Stop shooting!
He bellowed as a heavy cruiser's railguns flung another dart down at the planet. The firing stopped, and Reichert tried to follow the dart downward, tracking it with his own ship's maser cannons, but the dart splashed through the cloud layer and was lost to sight. By the time the maser bolts burned through the thick layers of atmosphere, the dart would already have found its target.
All ships secure weapons. Report weapon status to me directly. The next ship to fire without my express authorization will face my ship's weapons. Is that clear?
One by one, the ships of his expanded Eighth Fleet replied, acknowledging the order. The captain of the over-eager heavy cruiser apologized profusely, though there was a note of question in the apology, as there was in messages from many of the ships under his command. He did not need to explain himself to his subordinates. He did need to determine if the ghost ship had been fatally damaged. Ordering an active sensor scan of the planet below, he said a silent prayer, fearing that he might just have killed his own people.
They stopped shooting at us, Bilby said slowly.
For now, Sims warned. Pressure outside is 31 bars, she noted.
Maintain descent, I ordered. We'll drop to...
An active sensor pulse swept over us, followed by another. Then the pulses became continuous, and I silenced the alarm.
Good. The kiddies know we're still alive down here.
They know where we are, Sims hissed toward me. If you have a plan,
This is...
I do, I said without a smile. Bilby, I want to contact whoever is in charge up there.
That is Admiral Reichert. We don't know much about him.
I don't care which asshole is up there. Audio only.
I didn't want the enemy commander to see how badly hurt we were.
Ready?
Ready.
Hey, shithead, I called, flinching from pain as I had automatically squared my shoulders to speak.
This is Colonel Joseph Bishop of the United Nations ship Valkyrie. I suggest you not shoot at us again. You're stupid, so I'll explain what will happen if you destroy my ship while we're down here. The ship will explode, and our Elder AI will fall through the ice layer toward the core of this miserable planet. Maybe you have the technology to build a probe to find and recover the AI, and maybe you don't. Neither of us knows for sure. What I do know is by the time you get a probe ready, the clock will have run out on the Elder weapons we planted around the galaxy, and Sentinels will burn every one of your worlds to a crisp. If that happens, it will be your fault. Think about that, asshole.
Holding a thumb down on the button to kill the audio, I slumped in the chair and carefully let out a breath.
Oh my God, Sims gasped. That is your plan?
It's the only way. They want to capture Skippy. We're safe as long as it's impossible for the kiddies to get access to him. It's the only way. The only way I could think of, I corrected myself, to give us a chance.
We're trapped down here. She pointed out the obvious flaw in my brilliant plan. We can't stay down here forever.
We won't have to. I hope, I added to be truthful.
You have a plan to escape?
Not exactly. I'm hoping we'll have help.
Not from the Giraptha?
No. I suspect the Maxalts ambushed them at the original rendezvous point near the Crab Nebula. The kiddies planted that message about switching the rendezvous point to lure us here. I knew there was something screwy with that message, and I didn't listen to myself, damn it.
The authentication codes checked out, she said gently.
Of course they did. I was disgusted with myself. Shit. I should have considered that whatever code the Giraptha used, the senior species can crack the encryption.
If not the Giraptha, she slowly and painfully turned to look at me. Who do you think will come to rescue us?
How? I didn't say it would be a rescue. Remember back at the relay station, I told Skippy to send a reply message as an insurance policy?
Yes. What?
Oh. Yeah. If the kiddies can read Giraptha codes, then so can the spiders. The spiders must be looking for the second group of ships. We know they didn't buy ECO's bullshit story about the ships being stolen.
Sir. She gave me the side eye.
You think the Rindaloo will pull us out of here?
No. I think that when the spiders see their rivals are trying to capture Skippy, there is going to be one hell of a fight upstairs. Hopefully we can get out of here while the kiddies and spiders kill each other.
Bilby, how's the jump drive?
Working on it, dude, working on it. If I knew what was wrong with the stupid thing, that would help.
Gotcha. Keep working. We only need one jump if it's long enough.
Sims's face was pale, and not just from pain and shock.
Oh my God. You don't plan to jump while we're down here, do you?
No. That's what the boosters are for. We'll rocket up to jump altitude and clear out of this system as soon as there aren't enough ships above us to project a damping field.
So, we wait?
We wait while Bilby fixes the ship.
Oh man, the ship's AI moaned. No pressure on me, then.
Hey, welcome to the party, pal.
Unfastening the seat straps, I eased forward. Sims put out a hand to stop me.
Where are you going? You should wait for the medical scanner.
I have to check on Skippy and the crew. People could need help.
I have people reporting on the crew.
She shook her head.
Sims, I said in a whisper. I have to check on Skippy. If he's in a bad way, all this could be for nothing. Or worse, if you know what I mean.
She knew what I meant.
Be careful.
You know me.
That's what I'm worried about. Maintain descent?
Bring us down to pressure of 40 bars, then hold. Unless the hull develops a crack. I'll be back soon as I can.
Easing myself to the deck to look into Skippy's man cave, I had to twist my whole body because my neck was still scaring me. It didn't hurt anymore. That was what really scared me. My neck was numb, with a hot, tingling pain down my right shoulder and making my elbow and thumb spasm like I'd stuck the thumb into an electric outlet. The inside of his man cave wasn't anything unusual. Nothing had even fallen to the floor during the battle. The loss of momentum, the bad jump, the skirmish with the frigate, or falling through the atmosphere of the ice giant planet that we had decided to call Snowcone. That didn't surprise me. Everything in his escape pod was very well secured. The Velpy I made for him, a cheesy image of fluorescent paint on black velvet, was in the corner where he insisted I hang the thing. Tears came to my eyes, and not from physical pain. The painting was crap, I knew that. It was my fourth attempt to paint a beer can on velvet, no better than the first three attempts that I'd discarded. My skills, whatever they were, did not extend to the visual arts. Skippy certainly knew the painting was poor quality, actually embarrassing. Yet he had insisted it be fastened in a place of honor where it was in view from the hatch. My mother had hung crap art for me on the refrigerator. This was no different. It wasn't about the quality of the artwork. It was about friendship. Hey, buddy. I gritted my teeth as I crawled through the hatch in an undignified fashion, scraping my belt on the lip seal. How are you? Flopping on the curved floor, I rolled onto the seat next to where his canister was fastened in a custom holder. It was nothing fancy, just a piece of smooth foam sized exactly for the diameter of his can to fit snugly into. It didn't fit. There was a gap between the can and the foam around it. The can was tilted slightly because it had just enough room to move and fall to rest on one side. The foam had not changed. His can was smaller. Holy shit. How could that happen? Buddy? I reached out, keeping my fingertips from touching the shiny surface of his canister. Except it wasn't shiny. It was dull. It wasn't the usual chrome-plated magnificence. This looked like someone had done a bad job with a rattle can of silvery-gray spray paint. Wiping a fingertip along the surface, I was half expecting to get a painful shock. Nothing happened. Was I relieved or disappointed? The can's surface wasn't dusty the way it had been after he bailed on us at Riker's. It was different. The actual material of the canister was less magnificent than before. Hey. Hey, buddy. Skippy. Skipster, you there? Come on, talk to me. Please. Nothing. No response. Touching him again, he felt warm. Maybe warmer than usual. Or was my own body temperature altered by whatever the wonky jump did to me? Bilby said Skippy was still with us. When he got attacked by the computer worm, before he started counting down to 0 hour, he had been there, but not there. Trapped inside himself. If that was the case again, we were in trouble. Big trouble.